Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April the 1st, 2020. And this is Live Talk, Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Kip Stube.
Tonight on Live Talk, Diaspora Forum, we are continuing to look at the coronavirus pandemic and what Zimbabweans in the diaspora are doing to help find the pandemic back home. But please note that this is a pre-recorded show due to the coronavirus pandemic. Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 4930 and 15460 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Gibbs Dube, today we are discussing the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, Jonga. So it seems as if globally there are roughly about 874,081 cases. And then in terms of deaths, Jonga, there are roughly about 43,291. We are seeing a lot of deaths in Italy and other countries. Then in the USA, a total number of 186,014 people have actually contracted coronavirus COVID-19. Out of these, 3,852 have died so far. And then back in Zimbabwe, we know that there are still 8 cases. And out of these 8 cases, only one person has died. We know that Zororo Makamba died about 2 weeks ago. And he was admitted at Wilkins Hospital. And there were issues, you know. The family wasn't happy at all. They were saying that the facilities are very, very bad. So, Jonga, can you ask me if you are super? I'm going to go to Zimbabwe. So, when we took a lockdown, the 21 days, Ramka, you know, let's start. Abantu sibili bathi kuzima ukuthi bahlale endlini ngoba kumele bebhotabhote bedinge impuphu bedinge lokunye okutshiyeneyo then-ke kudiaspora ngapha-ke abantu bathi la ungahlezi isendlini bakhona baselondon khona ngale kube khona abanye-ke abasendaweni ezithiyeneyo jonga so kanye ngazani-ke abantu bahlulukele ngomkhuhlane lo 21 days endaweni eziningi ngaso sikhathi sokudlala mfowethu.
Yes, Gibbs, and also remember that many Zimbabweans in the diaspora are doing everything they could to make sure that the people back home are protected from the pandemic. And these include donating money, sourcing for protective clothing, protective gear, medical equipment, and even volunteering their services to help make sure that Zimbabwe is safe from the pandemic. We have Mr. Freeman Chari. He is not new to many Zimbabweans. Mr. Chari has been instrumental in making sure that Zimbabweans in the diaspora and those back home help each other. We also remember him for pioneering the funding or the sourcing of funds for Cyclone Idai. And today he is one of those people in the diaspora who are also fighting the spread of the pandemic by sourcing money in the United States of America, Britain, Australia, wherever Zimbabweans are who are able to donate to the cause. Welcome to our show, Mr. Chari.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome. Gibbs, ndikutaurira vateereri vedu nerurimi rwaamai kuti nhasi tiri kukura nezvedambudziko rechirwere checoronavirus. Tiri kuona kuti chirwere ichi chabata pasi rose kusanganisira neZimbabwe. KuZimbabwe vanhu vasere vabatwa nacho chirwere ichochi. Pavasere ipapo mumwe chete akashaya Zororo Makamba tine urombo kumureva Makamba nemuri weZimbabwe kurasikirwa nemumwe wedu. Tiri kuonawo kuti pasi rose tikatarisa masangano akaita sana Johns Hopkins vanobuditsawo vachizivisa kuti huwandu hwakamira sei nana Worldometer vanobuditsawo huwandu kuti hwakamira sei. Nhasi tinoona kunge vanhu vadarika 885,000 vafa nechirwere ichochi. Vabatwa nechirwere ichochi 885,220 vanonzi ndo vabatwa nechirwere ichochi kuchabari zvino. Kuchiti vafa vaakudarika 44,000 kuratidza kuti huwandu hwakawanda kwazvihwo. Zviuru makumi mana vanhu vafa nechirwere ichochi. Tiri kunzwa vamwe vari kutumirawo tumashoko kumawhatsapp nevamwe madandemutande kumusha uku. Hanzi vamwe havasati vava kunyatsotora dambudziko iri zvakanyanya kukosha kana kuti some people are not yet seeing it as a pandemic. They are just not taking it seriously. And I think that's a cause for concern, Gibbs.
Yes, it's a cause for concern, really, Jonga. But we are seeing that there are so many people that are doing some philanthropic work. And we also have the Ezra Jesus Panda. We work with him, but he's doing something that he says is going to benefit the community. So the Ezra Jesus Panda, Utingi Mali, Yogutige, Ulumi, so it don't prove. Unangalege, Wele Zimbabwe, Kusabwege, Ulumi, and Freeman Chari, Kenya, Zamutanete, Utu Ulumi, so Penokioma Clubs, Utuma Lapawanko, Ochene. So Ambuza, Umbuzo Kala Choka, Umbuzegeva.
Yes. Mr. Chair, maybe you can start by telling us how much you have raised so far for the cause.
Yeah, so in the past week, we have raised about 27,000 United States dollars from, you know, on the GoFundMe. We have also now raised about 28,000 Zimbabwean bond dollars, ZWL dollars, back home. That is being contributed via EcoCash. So we have seen people donating on EcoCash and also on GoFundMe.
How much work you raise?
So the goal is a moving target. That's the truth. Right now, we are saying the goal is 50,000. But then, you know, everything is dependent upon the response that we get. Because we know right now that what is needed is more than $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kyongo.
Makashika say paku toradano iriva chari kuti munge muchiunganidza mari yekubatsira vanhu vari kuwirwa nedambudziko kana kudzivirira dambudziko recoronavirus.
Yeah. Saka isusu zvinoitwa zvakaitikana zvokuti takambobatsira kumashure tichibatsira zvenasi zvecyclone tikabatsira pakambodzinga madokta paya tikamboenda nemakliniki tichinobatsira kunana Binga Vulawayo kwese. Saka zvino tasvika panguva iyi takangoona zvakangokodzera zvakare kuti hatingagari vanhu vangafa. Saka takangoti ngatichingokondi nyaya tongobatanidza zvatinongoita kungoita konde ihumwe.
Pari zvino maunganidza mari yakawanda zvakadii?
Muma-US dollars taunganidza 27,000. Ndainyatsogona ndaitaura kuti zvinhu zvingani panonetsa. Saka 27,000 US dollars ku GoFundMe. MuZimbabwe taunganidza paEcoCash inosvika distance yanga yakuma 28,000. Saka ari maZimbabwean dollars.
Mm-hmm. Saka toti muma-US dollar maunganidza zviuru makumi maviri nezvinomwe zvemari yekuAmerica US dollars. Kuchitova kuZimbabwe nemari yekuZimbabwe maunganidza zviuru makumi maviri nezvisere zveZimbabwe dollar. Imari yakawanda. Muri kutarisira kuunganidza mari yakawanda zvakadii?
Isu tinotarisira kuunganidza $50,000. Asi mari iyo hapasi pepatiri kuda kugumira. Tiri kungoti tikakwanisa vanhu vakakwanisa kubatanidza mari dzavo tikasvika ipapo tinoramba tichingokwidza tichingoti nokuti zvinodiwa zvakawanda chaizvo.
Mr. Freeman Chari, yeah, is explaining just like what he did in English that they are aiming to raise $50,000 and so far they have raised $27,000 US dollars and 28,000 Zimbabwe dollars. That's a big amount of money in maybe less than a week now that you have managed to raise that much. Thank you so much, Mr. Chari Gibbs.
And Mr. Chari, looking at you know, issues to do with money, people are usually skeptical of making some donations. So how do you tell them that money won't be stolen?
Yeah, so what we have done is over the past operations that we have done, we were trying to be very transparent in all our projects. That is, we tell people how much that has been raised, and then we show them what has been bought at the receipts, and we have also had even audited accounts before. So everything that we do is transparent. It is traceable. You know, it is open to inspect what we have done. They can, you know, they can even call the people that have made the purchases, and everything is on their own. You know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we understand that. So at the end of the day, who handles the money from here to Zimbabwe and how are they going to use it effectively?
So right now we are formalizing the Citizens Initiative, which is a board. this body has people in Zimbabwe. You know, Mr. Wellington Mahoma is a member of the board. He's in Zimbabwe right now doing the needs assessment. We know here we have other people. We have other people in UK like Dr. Alex Magaisa and Mrs. Chennai Mutambasere, you know, and some another person is in Bermuda. So we are distributed. Which means we also have the, everybody has access to see what is happening, and we account to each other.
Mm. Yes, Tonga.
Yes, Gibbs Dubin. Tinoona wo ne zimwe nguwa wana we Zimbabwe wakawanda warukunze kwenyika. Wanonga waine chido cheku wonga nzamari. Asitiwa mwane kwa pasinga zio kuti tunaita sei, kana tunaita angwa sei. Many Zimbabweans in the diaspora may want to start raising contributions to send back home, but they don't know how to start the ball rolling. Maybe, Mr. Chari, you can explain to some of the Zimbabweans in the diaspora who may also want to take the same course as yours.
Yes. So the first thing that I want to tell people is that, you know, the work is huge, but the workers are few. So wherever you are, if you have an opportunity to find even minimal amount of resources, just do it. You can, you know, you can do it on GoFundMe. That's a good platform. You know, you can also do it on other platforms. I know there are other also crowdfunding platforms. Also, there are people who have access at their workplaces or in their communities and at churches. We have donated $1,000. Who asked their church to donate $1,000 to us? And the church did just that. We also have, for example, people in D.C., in Washington, D.C., who, when we were doing Cyclone Idai, they just had, I don't know whether it was a tea party or something, and then they raised some money there, which then they forwarded to us. So I would say, The work is a lot, and if people can raise it, raise the money where they are, even if they want to ask us to execute on their behalf, or even themselves executing on their, you know, for themselves, I think they should just take the initiative and run with it.
Yes, I think we are joined by another guest, and that is Mr. Jesus Wanda. We call him Mr. today because he's doing a lot of philanthropic work, but journalists are normally referred by their first and second names. So, because they are all the writers. So, Papa Jesus, how are you
going to say?
We also have Mr. Freeman Chari. He's one of the guys in the diaspora who are helping a lot back home. He's also on the show. You can talk to him.
Yeah, so let's pose a question to you, Mr. Jesus Man. So what are you doing to help Zimbabwe, you know, under this coronavirus crisis?
As you know, from which the Parliamentary Committee on Health Visited Bulawayo and identified in Pilo as a, not in Pilo, Tonko Hospital, at the hospital which is licensed by the government to deal with the coronavirus COVID-19. The outcome of that meeting, of that project, got only 17 beds in that town of hospital. And again, there was nothing. The people were not ready. They were not treating kids. What they said, the hospital manager, the person dealing with coronavirus in Bulawayo, Dr. Nyan, said that they don't have testing kits in Bulawayo. What they do is they take samples. Samples are then sent to Harare, and then the results are repaired back to Bulawayo. They are taken overnight by shift. Then we said, that can't be, especially in the 21st century. So we decided to raise money to buy the testing kits for Tonkru Hospital, specifically for Tonkru. My brother there is doing for the whole country, but ourselves, we say this is an emergency, because we can't say the hospital which covers Masvingo, Midlands, but here in South and North, plus Bulawayo, Tonkru, to refer all the samples to Harare for testing and then returning to Bulawayo.
So the mask and the bonuti, the funuti, the race, Imalini. Jalo Oman just sent 20 Malangana.
Versus Funu Reza, Imalini Gangi, £20,000, which is $22,000. Wainzazikale, which is a thing, I don't get an over. He went to the organization, level 7, and I've already been a faggy man, I was a faggy 10,000, maybe 28,000. 28,000. iyathenga ama-testing kit afika 10,000. Iyathenga ama-testing kit afika 10,000. Kanti sikhala nje ebantwini ukuthi asizenzeleni, singamele lohulumente.
Yeah, there you are, Jonga, is saying that he's trying to raise money for Tom Groove hospital in Bulawayo. So Tom Groove is an isolation hospital. It has been there since the 1960s or 70s. So it's a very small hospital which is located in the western suburbs of Bulawayo. So Ubunjaro gave a point to see so like Jesus Pande Kuluma in a project I enzyo for Namanje. We have Zalabani Abantu Abandon Neng Lapa Lapa, even Zeluti gave a ting and limali, this paper less was a tigre doing a parliamentary committee. Yakulo Mugu to Anbia Tech, Kunangale, Ublawayo, Nazokanale, Iton Kuf. Utu Ambisa want to be a COVID 19 Kunangale, Kuzalti won't give up hope in the winning a day. So we won't jalito.
This was the Taku Kunzakuna, Vasbanda Uti. Munota is Rakunge Maria in Darini, Ublawayo, which you tend to pass it up to Tonku.
Paris, the Taton of the Chase, of course, is actually. They don't even have the protective employer, they don't have testing machines.
Someone to test, to test the virus there. Will you second someone to do that, or you have to request the government to send someone to do that once the test kits are delivered?
No, the doctors are there, but they can't test, like I said, they just check samples. What they are there because they don't have the testing kits. They only take samples. Those are qualified doctors, and then even helping with the COVID, the coordinator of COVID-19 in Bulawayo is dealing with that. So what happens is that they take the samples and then send to Harare, because there's no testing kits. If testing kits were there, they would have done that in Bulawayo, right? And give people results after 24 hours.
Thank you so much, Gibbs.
Now, coming back to Mr. Charlie. So, Mr. Charlie, you've been doing all this over the years. Do you think that this is worth doing in terms of crises like this? And in terms of maybe good and bad times, let's put it that way.
You know what? I just want to... Can I just comment on... Because I just heard my brother Ezra talking about Tom Groove.
Yes.
I don't know if I should probably comment on that. I really want to comment on that because, we were at Tom Groove. We inspected Thorn Groove about 2 days ago, and that place is we met the town clerk and the director of the health.
Mm-hmm.
That place, there's nothing. That's the truth. There's nothing at Thorn Groove. They are trying to create an isolation ward, but they don't even have beds. The beds that they have right now, they have rust because of all the chemicals that keep, that we keep using to disinfect and all. So they have rust. So there's so much need at Thorn Groove right now, to the extent that, for me, at a personal level, we were saying, okay, our intention initially was just to deal with protecting our workers. That is the healthcare workers buying PPEs and all. But then when you look at a place like Thorn Groove and realize that there are extreme infrastructural and then equipment needs and then human resources needs, PPEs become, a tertiary thing, right? So about your question that you just asked me right now.
Yes,
we have to do something. But to be honest, the extent of the dilapidation in the country is just too much. It's just too much that, as a citizen, sometimes you get overwhelmed. Like, where do you start? Even if we wanted to help with just gloves and masks, but Now we have to think about infrastructure. You know, Ezra was talking about the testing. Let me be frank, because I'm a medical scientist. I'm a medical lab scientist. I do those things. Zimbabwe cannot test for COVID-19 extensively because everything is being done at the National Reference Lab in Harare. And they have one machine, and they don't have the PCR reagents that are needed. That's why they've only done 218 tests in the whole country. So even if my brother Ezra is going to buy the, because I believe what he's trying to buy are rapid test kits, which detect, they detect whether somebody has been infected and have produced antibodies. That would be too late. The PCR test is the one that detected the virus on day one, day two, day three. So the rapid test we will be late, but that's the minimum we can do at this point.
Yes, we can hear you. Papa Chisa, we are Zalopia Kuluma, Umunza, not in a very long term, exactly.
Uchara has done a fantastic work and has qualified somebody. He knows better than me. But what I'm saying is, like he's saying, it is rapid just to help people to discover that they've got those viruses. Maybe then they seek treatment. Unlike just someone to be testing, is this person having infection or not? So those testing kits will determine and actually help the people actually to discover if they are really infected or not. So this is what it was recommended, that the testing kits and the names of the kits which were given to buy.
Yes, I wanted to ask Mr. Chari about this. Unfortunately, we don't have someone from the authorities or from the Minister of Health to respond to that, whether they don't have the equipment or the know-how. But what I would ask Mr. Chari is, what can he suggest? Because before all this, Zimbabwe used to send samples to South Africa. And now that they have their own testing center, what can he recommend?
So I've been hitting the doors and trying to break some about this. You see, so the lockdown itself is a very good thing. I support that. But the lockdown cannot operate in isolation. The lockdown should have a protocol as to if you feel that, you have some symptoms, where do you report to? And when you call a number, what do they do? They have ambulances to come and pick people and take them to a place where they can be isolated. And when those people are isolated, isolation means you stay by yourself. You can't take people who think that they are COVID-19 and then you mix them with everybody else. They start spreading. So when you stay by yourself, then you can then be tested where you are and see whether you are positive for COVID or not. If not, then they can start looking at some other disease that you have. If you are negative, they can start looking for something else. If you are positive, then they can start trying to manage that COVID-19 disease, right? So the challenge right now in our country is that we are locked down in the houses. And if you get sick, you don't know what to do. And, we live 15 people, 12 people in one house. So if I am positive in the house, everybody else is probably going to test positive. And then what? Probably will die, all of us. So we just pray that no one is positive in the house.
Maybe I can go to Mr. Suranda. Okay, yeah. Go on.
No, I wanted to ask a question from Charlie. Yes. South African government is saying now they'll be testing people from their houses. What are they using? Because if those things have to be taken to the lab, what will they be doing when they're saying they'll be going around the townships and testing people?
Can you say, you said they are testing people in their houses?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
No, that's what they're saying. The government of South Africa is saying they're arranging for people to be tested from their own houses. So if you're saying that these things need to be brought to the laboratory, so what are they testing there? Are they taking samples or what are they doing?
Okay, so no, so you know, I can explain this. Let's go back to HIV. So you know, with HIV, you go and you are tested, and they say, you know, you are HIV positive. What it means sometimes is, or sometimes this. So when you are infected by a virus like COVID-19, your body reacts. And then when it reacts, it produces the soldiers, you know, the IgM and IgGs. Those start appearing on day 4 or 5 up to day 14, or sometimes, you know, all the way. So when they now come with those rapid tests, they are not detecting the virus. They are now detecting whether you have responded to a virus, which means it could be late. It could be extremely late. Maybe you have already you have already sneezed on other people and everybody else is now ill. But that's what they are doing right now. That's what they are doing. So detection of the antibodies, you know, is what they are probably trying to do. And I understand now they have about 3,000 test kits that have come into the country. But it's too late. It's something that can be done.
Mr. Chair, to cut you short on that,
yes.
Don't you think that it's also a welcome development that if they detect that someone, it may be too late, but at least they detect that this person is infected, and then they take measures from there?
Okay. This becomes a huge lecture. It's, okay, as a citizen, I would say, okay, let's appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a professional, I would say, I don't want to freak people, right? When you detect this at that end, it means that probably you have already reached a point where somebody has already had complications, right? Maybe the lungs have already been, you know, they've already crystallized. That is, if you do it, maybe day 8, 9, 10.
Yes, siyabuza kakhulu ke baba Chari, sicela ubambe khonapho ngayekatshana. So Mr. Chari is a scientist, right?
Yes.
So now what people can do is send your question, going to respond, you know, on this aspect of the coronavirus COVID-19 and how people gather maybe, you know, the samples from me as a citizen and from maybe Bonga. And the first question could be, how do you actually gather that kind that you want from me so that you can test? What are you testing?
Okay.
Pass or something?
Okay, so there are two things. So the first thing is when we say, so the test that they are doing in Harare, the one I said, PCR, the real-time PCR test, the one that they are doing, the most expensive one, what they do is, They take a swab, a nasopharyngeal swab through your nose, right? And then if you have the virus itself, it will be on that swab. So they take it to the lab and they you know, you go through that, you mix it, you do whatever stuff, you extract the DNA, that is the genetic, actually it's the RNA, or the genetic material of the virus itself, you amplify it, which means you multiply it so that you can detect it. So what you are detecting is the virus itself. Now, with the other test, which is the antibody test, the rapid test, what you are doing is you are detecting the... So when the virus infects a person, your body mounts a reaction. The first thing that it does is it produces what is called the IgM antibodies. Then the later on, when it starts fighting it, it produces what is called the IgG antibodies. That takes from 4 to 12 days to happen. So now you will then get your blood and we, you know, like a small sample of your blood, we can then detect whether you have, you know, those antibodies. So those are two different tests. One is to detect the virus. The other is to detect whether you have responded to a virus.
And there's Jiva Nazwe. So she writes, they need an antigen antibody test. And then she goes further to say, at work, they are saying, if someone has antibodies, they are safe to come to work. What does that mean?
No. Okay, there are two things.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody has antibodies, it means your body has responded and has fought or is fighting the disease. It doesn't mean that you are healed. So these antibodies, they can exist for a longer time. So after day 14, 15, day 20, you still have these antibodies. So even if I test you and you have never had symptoms there, if I test you and you have been infected before, but your body managed to fight it, you still test positive. That's why maybe she is saying you are safe to come to work. You are only safe after the incubation period and you are no longer having any symptoms and, you know, they are sure that you are no longer infectious. But you still test positive even after that, even 30 days or 40 days after.
Aha, uh-huh. Jongo?
Before I go to Mr. Swanda, I wanted to ask you, Mr. Chari, we have heard some people or some specific numbers of people being said they've recovered from this coronavirus or COVID-19. Are they being administered some medication or what? Because we understand there is no medication yet. Well, how are they recovering from this?
Was that question to me?
Yes, I'm just asking.
Oh, okay.
For people to understand, because I'm one of those people who are failing to understand how these people are recovering. Are they getting any medication or is just recovering after the virus expires or what happens?
Okay, so this virus is more... Okay, let's look at flu itself. Sometimes with flu, you know, flu virus, there's no medicine for that, right? There are vaccines, but there's no medicine. You can't say that I have flu, so I'm going there to... they'll treat it. No, they just wait for your body to fight the virus. So if your body is capable of fighting the virus and then clears it up. So your antibodies, the ones we were talking about, the antibodies are the soldiers in your blood. When those are produced and then they go target the virus and, you know, destroy the outer coat of the virus now, fails to do its job, that is to attach to your own cells and then make your cells start producing the virus. So the virus is cleared out of your bloodstream by the antibodies. Now the problem, that the reason why you've heard this, the experts say the people who are dying more are those with immunosuppression or those who don't have good health or have underlying diseases is because the body now is overwhelmed and is unable to fight the virus. So people recover. People really recover because normally a person who has no other disease, underlying disease, normally they can mount this response and then clear that virus out. But now we are seeing that some people are just dying even if they don't have
in underlying disease. Thank you so much.
Why do you think it's necessary for you to fundraise for this purpose?
Yeah, it is important for everyone to fundraise for this purpose. Because one thing, we always cry for the government, the government should chip in, and we've seen that's not happening. So when we engage a hospital like this, which covers all those provinces, in Bulawayo. And then you are not doing any favor to the people. Because we just stand up as citizens, as residents of the city or in Zimbabwe, and say, let's do it ourselves. It's help our own people, our own communities. You might be your relative, could be heavy, because I believe everyone in the diaspora has someone back home there, who is called a relative.
Yes, I'm going to go to the
Yes, sir, there's one of our viewers on Gibbs Facebook. Thank you so much, Gibbs, for sharing this Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yours, one Kowo Ephraim says, great program. Thanks, Sekuru Jonga Kandemire and your great team. And he says, I can understand your frustration, Mr. Chari. We only have God to take care of us. He's listening, he's following us on our Facebook page.
Yes, yes. Chari, can you respond? Because somebody is saying something there.
Yes, yes, I believe in God. But I also believe in the, you know, the goodness of humankind and our, you know, our innovation and ingenuity. I think there are things that we can do as citizens. Even if we believe in God, there are things that we can do that will help us. You know, take this isolation, this lockdown seriously. And if you are in a house that has got you know, room, I would say, if you feel that you are having these symptoms, isolate yourself from others. You'll be doing good to even if it means staying in one room the whole day, do that. You can protect your family. You can protect other people. So let's take that seriously.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead, Mr.
Uswanda.
Yeah, Uswanda.
Yes, vasipanda, tiri kuona kuZimbabwe vanhu vari kukurudzirwa kunzi vagare kudzimba pa 21 days, mazuva 21. In Zimbabwe, the president announced that people should take heed of the 21-day lockdown. And surprisingly, many people decided to lock themselves down in their rural homes. They went to rural homes. Was that a good idea?
It's important
for people to self-isolate. Most of the people know how crowded it is in our towns, in our suburbs. So therefore, in the rural areas, it's hot, it's open space, so a lot of people believe that it is actually better because you won't mingle with so many people like the people you meet in towns. Mm-hmm. Because in towns, they are forced to go to a supermarket, and then you meet a lot of people, you're forced to go to town or to go in the streets of our suburbs, which is always overcrowded. Actually, it's better to be in a rural home where there are only 3-5 members of your family.
Mm. But were they not exporting the virus in the event that some of them might have been affected?
That's where the problem is. That's the danger. It is because I believe that Zimbabwe is delayed in doing this lockdown because they have to wait for something to happen before they act. If countries have done and reacted after what happened in China, we couldn't be seeing what we're seeing in America, Italy, UK. They would have controlled this thing. But the people delayed. It took them a long time. That's why there's a problem.
Thank you so much, Isman.
Yes, we see, Mr. Chari, we see that there have been some epidemics in the past. You know, in the 1960s, there was one epidemic that was really horrible, and millions of people died. And then in subsequent years, there were also some epidemics. You still remember the avian flu and all those. You know, we still remember when we were growing up, our parents used to tell us about the influenza of the 50s or 60s. So now then came this other Asian flu and so forth. So there are some people who are saying, maybe this one won't go to the extent of, you know, the one that killed millions. So maybe, but they're using the same strategies, isolation, and then you actually give some kind of orders to people on what to do, like social distancing and so forth. So how important are these previous epidemics in actually in terms of addressing the current one?
Yeah, so I think the beauty of all this is that if you look at other countries, they learn from these epidemics. Mm-hmm. You see, look at how I'll give you DRC for example, Congo. Look at how they responded to the current Ebola, outbreak, the one that happened like in the past few months. Mm-hmm. It is so different from the one that happened in 2016. 2015-2016, they have learned from that, from the 2015-2016 experience, how to handle, Ebola. Now, it is my wish that in our country, in Zimbabwe, we also learn from these epidemics that, we don't have so many. We only have, I think the things that we really have in Zimbabwe are things like cholera and dysentery and so forth. Those are things that come up. But this is different. We have to learn from it. Let's learn from what is happening in Italy right now. If you think it's a joke, look at the United States, where I am. And I've been in the house for 21 days. I'm not going out. 21 days with my family, right? Now, if you look at it, about 3 weeks ago, President Trump was saying, yeah, we are good. We only have 15 cases. Look at where we are. This is just about 21 days or so. We are at 180,000 cases and about 3,000 or 4,000 people dead. Mm. Right. So if we don't learn right now from what other people are doing right now, then God forbid, if this happens in Zimbabwe, we'll be wiped out. So let's learn from others and do it quickly.
Mm. Yes. Let's bring in Chisa so that you can go to a place we wanted to go. So, Baba Spanda,
viewers and listeners, that according to Johns Hopkins, there are 887,067 deaths the world over.
It is. A very big number. Can you question now? So that it goes.
Yes, maybe it's just a compliment to Mr. Swanda for the job that he's doing. And Mr. Swanda, maybe you are working with some of your colleagues. You may just want to tell us who these people are, and maybe we can also thank them here.
Okay, we're working. In fact, when I heard about the roof, we called Dr. Nyati, and then Dr. Nyati told us that the hospital falls under the city of Bulawayo, Bulawayo Council. Then I called the mayor of Bulawayo, who said, please, if you can, try and help us. Then I organized a few people. There's a lady here, and you can call sister, Senkosi, and then there's the Kohomai.
Hmm. Yeah, I think he got cut off.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe he's on iPhone. Or, yeah, it seems as if he went into a certain place where maybe the network is very bad. But anyway, we heard what you're saying, and we just go into it full time, all what you're saying, Joe.
Yes. That's why Funza, last one, the Warushanda Nani, Tanzora, Chita, and Ravamurano, Warushanda now. And the true one of the Chipadrache, Johns Hopkins, just Zivisa, Kutupane, and 887,067, but when it's a village, Pasiros, kuchiita vafa vanosvika 44,263 vafa pasi rose. Zvekuti dzimwe nguva tichitaura kudai nhamba iyo inogona kunge yatokwira kudarika pane iyo yabudiswa neJohns Hopkins. Vachari tichiona uwandu huri kuitika uhwu nemamiriro ari kuita zvinhu zvichitarisa zvikuru muno muamerica, tiri kunzwa kuti uwandu hwevanhu vari kubatwa nechirwere ichi zuva nezuva huri kutokwira. Tiri kuona matunhu akawanda atora matanho ekuti vanhu vagare kudzimba. Idanho ramunoona rakatorwa nguva iripo here kana kuti rakanga ratonono?
Ya, danho rokugarisa vanhu mudzimba idanho rakanaka chose. Chinongonetsa ndechekuziva kuti kana takurunza kana asi hatisina, ndinokurai kuti ngatiti takazoenda, nokuti hatisi kutesta vanhu, hatina kumbogara takwanisa kutesta vanhu vese vari kurakidza kuti vangangodaro vane COVID vasina kumbosangana kuti vasina kumboenda kuDubai kana kuChina kana kupi. Aiwa, isitiringo tinoshandisa mahu guidelines ekuti wakambosangana here nemunhu anorakidzwa kuti akabva kunzvimbo idzi. Saka zviri kureva kuti mucommunity hatisi kutesta vanhu, vanogona kunge chakagara chiripo, nokuti who guidelines haitauri zvokumabhodha jamba. Vanhu vanokurosa nekuchikombedzi kuenda South Africa vachidzoka vamwe vachidini. Zvino chifungai kuti kana tatinga taita lockdown, tine vanhu vanogara magarira atinoita mumataundi, muri togara 315 muri 3 muimba 1, ngatiti mune munhu 1 ari positive, munhu kanamata
hachabudimo omunye wavo Moven Qhelisa Ngwenya kona ngale ejabuluka elupani usizwe ukuthi uthini ngojabalolo nangoke uyangena enkundleni kona manje ngecebo lokuthi abantu bazamuzwa kutongazani audio yakhe ingani phansi kuti kube khona abanye futhi njalo abasithumezela imilayezelo yabo ngothi mbomntu omunye mbani sitobaba umadida umadida no umntanakhe umntana wamadida lapha ukhulume enye into ulalele ke jonga uthi bathini khona bayakhala ngesikolo nakumntwana.
Yes, maybe I can read some of the comments, Gibbs, on your Facebook. We have Stanley Kwenda. Stanley Kwenda is directing this question to Mr. Chari. He says, is there something people can do to help themselves in the absence of government help? Let's say I am in Mavuku and get the symptoms and there's no help available. What should I do? Any DIY ideas?
To be honest, I just don't, I don't want people to do DIYs. You know, DIY means do it yourself. Yes, there are things that we can do to minimize, you know, the symptoms, you know, just like we do with flu, that sometimes, you know, people take ginger, they take what is it, garlic and all. But with this thing, the difference is that it does not really affect the upper respiratory tract. You know, it goes deep into the lower respiratory tract, which is the, you know, the alveoli, the linings, the epithelial that lines the lungs, right? So to me, there are things that I think prevention is better than cure. So the first thing that I would say, that if you suspect that probably first of all, isolate yourself from everybody and wear a mask, even a homemade mask. It works, it helps. And let me explain why. A homemade mask, because usually when you sneeze, you don't generally sneeze the virus itself. You sneeze the water bubbles, that is, you know, all these fluids that have the virus, that are carrying the virus. So when you sneeze, they end up on the mask and you are protecting other people. Right? So you are protecting your family. So if you suspect you have this disease, wear a mask, even a cloth, something that will make sure that you don't sneeze onto others. That's the first thing. Secondly, find a place where you can isolate yourself and, you know, and try to do whatever you can to lessen the pain. Take whatever meds you can to lessen the pain, even, you know, ibuprofen and so forth. But this disease does... It's not a death sentence. That's the other thing I wanted to say. It's not a death sentence. So don't freak out. Just try to isolate yourself until you are sure. After 14 days, 15 days, if you are, you might get better. If not, then try to call the authorities.
Yeah, Jonga, what in Zamege? Since this is Utabani Mshaba, you told him Shaba Kutumazere, you ought to be a king. I'm a child.
I'm going to go to the hospital. So, in a place, I could look up for a chuga kurugas, the access of a boat. Then our family could come up. Over Kuza still has a chance about the book figure must tolerate a young foreigner's way who would want to pull.
So that is Tabani. He's in South Africa. He says he's been under this lockdown for days now. So he's encouraging all Zimbabweans not to just move around. They must respect the law. And he's saying that he was looking at the situation outside his window, and he was seeing some soldiers patrolling in Soweto. So he's saying to all Zimbabweans, be safe. You know, he's very concerned about his colleagues. Jonga?
Yes, ndoboenda kuna vachari. Vachari tirikuona muri kuita basa rakanaka kwazvo rekubatsira kuunganidza mari nezvikwanisiro kuzvishandiswa kumusha. Mune nzvimbo here dzamuri kutara kuti rubatsiro rwenyu runofanira kuenda kudunhu iri nedunhu?
Chekutanga ndechekuti munongoona zvinoitika munyika yedu zvizhinji zvacho zvinoitikira muHarare. Saka munoona kana iko zvinoizvi vazhinji tinechingotaura Hawkins yati kudzwei mbichana zvakadai. Asi hakuna vazhinji vanobvunzawo kuti ko kuchipinge kwakambomira sei, ko kubvinga vakambomira sei. Maona isusu semacitizens zvatinoedza kuita ndezvekuti hatikwanisi kubata munhu wese. Nekuti hatisi hurumende, hatina mari yacho. Asi yatinenge tawana, ndogona kukudzai kuti iko zvino izvi isusu takaenda kuBlawayo tikanotaura nameya weku nameya natown clerk nadirector weku Thorngrove. Tabva ipapo takangopfuura nepamupilo zvikanzi hatina, hatitorina kana chinhu. Tikati semacitizens rekatingofona tiono tinogona kuwanirai here mamaski. Tikasiya vaso I think vanhunzi vangwenya vaine mamask. I think tangovasiira 120 yatichimboshandisai mabatai makadai. Tichibva taenda kumasvingo kundoona kuti vakamira sei. Tikasvikako zvikanzi hatisati tatombotanga iko zvine zvinhu zviri kunetsa. Nhasi nezuro tatiri kuchipinge nhasi kwamutare tikungotendera tichibvunza kuti titange tanzwisisa kuti vari kutombonzwisisawo here nezvechirwere ichi. Pane maplani aripo here? Kana aripo, patinokwanisa kupindawo semacitizens pavari kunetseka ndepapi tibatsire. Zvino zvinotinetsei iko zvine izvi nekuti zvinotodiwa zvacho zvakawandisa kudarika zvataifungidzira isu kuti taitongofunga kuti pamwe vana mukoti namadhokotera edu vanoda mamaski nehembe dzokupfeka dziya dzepamusoro. Takutozoona kuti zvinodiwa zvakawanda. Saka tiri kungoti patabatawo tichabata zvotongoedzawo. Patinenge tatadza tatadza, asi tichabata kwakasiyana siyana.
Maybe I can just throw a question in English to Mr. Chari.
Yes.
I hear you are referring to yourself as we. Are you working as an organization?
Yes, so let me give a background of this. Initially, when we did Cyclone Idai, you know, I just ran around as an individual looking for money. And then my brother, Wellington Maoma in Zimbabwe, was also coordinating people on the ground. And then we realized that, you know, there's so much that needs to be done, and citizens really want a conduit where they can also be useful. So after the citizen clinics, we said, let's formalize ourselves so that we don't get burned out. We also have other people that come in and also help. So we registered Citizens Initiative as a non-profit in the United States, in the state of Ohio. And we've also applied for 501c status in the United States. And we are also setting up, you know, kind of like structures in Zimbabwe that will be executing our plans so that we don't just wait for emergencies. We are there on the ground. We now continue to do more and as an organization that involves more citizens. So there are a number of people. Like I said, the board itself that we have constituted is 9 people, or, you know, 9 Zimbabweans, you know, who are in the board. That is, you know, you have me, you have Mrs. Chennai Mutabasere in UK, Dr. Alex Magaisa in UK. We have Mr. Tawang Nare. He's in United States right now. Mr. Kapikinyu is in United States. We also have Mrs. Johnson. She's in Bermuda. We have Mrs. Sarah Moses. She's in Canada. I don't know if I've left somebody else. We also have our treasurer, Mrs. Loreen. Miss Loreen Takaruza, she's in New York. She does our finances. So you see, we just took, you know, the people that were supporting the initiatives, the people we have just been, you know, pumping, you know, resources, money, helping us fundraise and so forth, and just they're the people now that are running the board for the citizens.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Chari. Yes. Uchari. What's been a footy is born in a Pakuluba Unda Batamini in Avantuki Avati, Bakuluza, the Kuluma Konapa in Sakasi. Now on the Muse, Ututi in Kunala.
Ah, San Bona Mena Munda Batamini. I see the locust in the local city and every 2 days in the Pelokini. A locust in the Pelokina as a Romisa. I sikhangele khona lokho okubulashayo.
So this guy is in Olomisa area, so he's in South Africa. So you know, there are so many people that want to join the show, and actually hear themselves talking, but naturally these days we can't call them, so they are sending us audios. And the other one is Jabulani. Here is what he says. There is coming right now. Yes. So
Mimen Chari in Ohio and Mr. Ezra Chisaswanda in London. Thanks also to all listeners who managed to join in via Facebook. Gibbs, I also want to thank you for utilizing your Facebook platform. And my name is John Gagademiri. Till we meet again tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Zimbabwe.